In studio now, it's my pleasure to have the guest, Sinn Féin Councillor Larry O'Toole. Hiya Larry, how are you?
Grand, good morning now, thanks.
Okay, I've been watching it on the way in and out of here and wondering what was going on there in Bargantown with the hoarding all around it, and it's proposed now to build housing for the homeless. You're not too happy about it though?
Yeah, well, it's not exactly for the homeless, as we call them, the people who unfortunately or regrettably have to sleep on the street. It's to move people out of hotel accommodation. And I think it's a rather devious thing. The minister gave a commitment that he would have all hotels emptied by July. Now, this seems to be his solution. We've taken them out of hotel accommodation, putting them into disused warehouses, disused factories, which, in my opinion, would not at all be suitable. First of all, you're sending a message to people. Well, now, this is what we think of you. We're going to house you in this year's factories. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't been in to see it. I see the work going on. I assume it'll be split up into units for 28 families. But as far as I know, it will be communal washing facilities, you know, a bathroom and washing facilities.
Okay.
A communal kitchen facilities, which, of course, I think would certainly not ideal and could lead to tension, family and young families with children. I know hotel accommodation is horrific. People living in one room with no cooking facilities or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this is the solution.
Okay, a few points on that, Larry. For instance, are you against what it's been used for right across the board? Is it just taking police people out of hotels? If they took people off the streets, would you agree with it then?
Well, it's
just
not,
to clarify.
Again, it wouldn't be ideal, but like certainly it would be better for people to be taken off the streets and moved into accommodation, sheltered accommodation, of course, yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know, I heard them being talked about, and I believe what I heard was they were all en suite. Now, how true that is now?
I don't think so. Now, I'm open to contradiction on that.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think as far as I know, that there will be a certain amount of shared facilities.
Mm-hmm. He's made a big promise that by the end of the year that the homeless situation would be solved. That's a bold claim, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
In the state of it is now.
It's doable if we start now, immediately, a building programme. A proper building programme.
I don't think so. I don't think you'd ever get out and built. I mean, there's a lot of few refurbishments. I was in the city over during the week, and you know yourself, you cycle around, and we've talked about it before, the amount of empty spaces around the place that just needs,
I can't recall what the figure is, but in Dublin City Council area alone, I know there's enough land to build, and I'm going to say thousands of homes, and I'm not sure the exact figure.
Yeah.
And there's no will. No will from the department to do it.
But even if they turned around tomorrow, it'd never be all built by the end of the year.
No, but I mean, let's make a start. Also, there are thousands, hundreds, if not thousands, of properties in Nama, lying idle.
Mm-hmm.
What are they waiting for? They're waiting for the property price to go right up again.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be happy days for developers and everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to use disused warehouses, why not get in there and CPO these or whatever you have
to take
these apartments over and put families in them.
I know, I have to say though, I mean, I've often said it myself walking around the city that you'd see empty spaces, you know, old factories and stuff like that, and it's something that they do in America all the time now, and they turn them into lovely luxury places and people pay a fortune for them depending on its location.
Yeah, but you're not talking about the same.
I know it's not the same, but if they do it properly.
Well, they're not going to do it properly. They're going to put 28 families and they're doing a warehouse up. This year's warehouse or factory as Shamrock Apparel, the clothing factory.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to partition it off and have 28 spaces for families, basically. They ain't going to be state-of-the-art luxury apartments.
I'm not being facetious, but I'm just saying that there's nothing wrong with factories if it's all done properly.
Nothing wrong with any space, Noel.
Yeah, but the only complaint I heard, for instance, about Bargantown and the building there from a lot of people was that where it is. It's in an industrial estate, and the kids, and they'd be busy with trucks. But I mean, and you've got a park. You've got a beautiful park, 5 minute walk down.
I know, the facilities are all there. Yeah, no doubt. You have shopping centres either side.
Mm-hmm.
Cinema complex, you have the beautiful Stardust Memorial Park. But the fact is that people have been herded into a disused factory with having very little renovation having been carried out.
Do you not think we should wait and see what they're like for? So, well, has anybody seen any drawings of them?
Well, you see, that's not okay. Say they were state of the art and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Say they were, just for instance, and I don't believe they will be.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, the minister and the councillor are saying, it'll be only for 6 months. Right. Now, I asked the question, what happens then in 6 months? We're going to have 28 homes ready. Now, and don't forget, there are 7 of these homes being opened around Dublin. So not all in, only two in disused factories. The other 5 are in old buildings like convents or schools or homes or things that, which, you know, may or may not be. I can only speak about the one I'm talking about. Now, so that's 7 by maybe 30. That's 200, maybe 300 families.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's asking us to believe that in 6 months' time he's going to have somewhere for the 300 families to go. I don't believe that, to be quite honest with you. He promised us fast-built homes be ready at the beginning of this year, end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Only a small amount of
the modular
have been
homes,
delivered.
Yeah.
They stopped calling them then.
Yeah.
But they have some, and these are to be welcomed. There are 28 being built in Mofio Belcamp. They're going along nicely. They're to be welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will be to take people from the homeless situation. Some will be for permanent residents. I think what will happen is anyone that moves in there will be left there and they'll settle into the community. That's excellent. I have other good news about 60 or 70 accommodations that are going to become available through Respond Housing, and all of those people will come off the council list. That is good news.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is positive.
So you sort of feel that a lot of the things that they're saying they're doing is like a sticking plaster.
Of course it is. Everything you can do about housing.
What about the building further down? Wasn't there proposals for building further down on the...
Down in Balmain?
Yeah.
Yes.
And, no, also on the Oscar Traynor Road here on the left.
Yeah, the Lawrence Land, which is a long history of trying to get something done with that.
Is that turned into the metro now sort of thing? It's a lot of talk and no action.
I think that'll go ahead.
Okay.
That's going to provide, you know, hundreds and hundreds of homes. See, we don't just need council housing, you know, social housing. Mm-hmm. We need what we call affordable housing, because there are people who are caught in the trap. They could not afford to buy a house on the market. People with even 2 people working can't afford to buy a house on the market, but their income. Their income is too high for them to go on the council list, so they're caught in a kind of a middle situation. So that's why we do need not just council housing, but we need affordable homes as well. So there will be some of those provided. Now, it's in the early stages, it's in the planning stages. There's a forum set up with local community and a number of councillors, some from this area and some from the Ballymun Whitehall area, to work out, you know, in conjunction with the local residents, what the best way to go. Also local resident associations, the school up there, very important, the school girls' school Column Kill, because they're right beside it. All of that has to be taken into consideration, and that hopefully that will deliver hundreds of homes.
Okay.
But we need to move quickly on all of this.
Okay. Well, as well, another complaint you often hear about councils all over the country is when a council house goes empty, whether it's someone that died or not, the turnover is ages.
Yeah.
I think last year I read about it. In Cork, for instance, it takes over a year. In Dublin, maybe not as long.
Not as long, maybe. But like, I mean, this is a bone of contention that I have also. And I'll just go into that in a little bit of detail, if you give me the time.
Sure.
I think to go in... Now, I know you have to go into some homes and turn them over completely, right? Where the madness happens is when someone leaves a home and they leave it in very good condition, probably a lot better than the way they got it.
A lot better than what the council
supposedly refurbishing. They still have to go in and change it all for legislation or for legal reasons or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, but here's the thing. We have a thing called choice-based letting, which the council advertises, and what they ask for is people who will live there. You know, some people mm-hmm. wouldn't want to go to area B or area Z or whatever, you know, or geographically. So this is a choice-based letting. So what happens is only the people who are interested will apply for it. Now, my understanding of that also was that part of that, if you accepted a choice-based letting, you accepted the house or the home as it was. Once all the structural things were all safe and okay, ESB, water, you know, heating and ventilation, and it wasn't falling apart, that if it was in good nick inside, that the tenant would say, yes, I'll accept that. I like the way that is. I like that kitchen. I'll leave that there, of that. But that doesn't seem to be happening. They didn't bring that along with the choice-based letting. I'm sick and sore asking why not, and I'm not getting any answer. I'm getting vague answers. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm mistaken, you should tell me so, but my understanding was that you say, yes, I'd like to live there, and whoever then is top of the list will be shown the house, and they say, well, look, what do you think? Is it okay? Yeah, it's perfect. I don't want that moved, or or I don't want that there, but that's only one thing.
Yes, yeah.
Instead of going in and tearing the whole
That's what I'm saying, which is because a lot of people...
costly, and it's delaying and all of that, you know.
A lot of people living in the council house for years, as you know yourself, they will do wonderful, wonderful work in it, and unfortunately maybe the last person to live in it dies, and they leave it in pristine condition, as you said.
Yeah, and
I know I'm going over it again.
I appreciate that someone might do a perfect good job on their house, but if the tenant doesn't agree... If the tenant is put in, and if anything happens, you know, you're saying, well, look, I didn't move into a standard council house. There was this in it or that in it, you know.
Okay.
That's the awkward part.
Okay.
I know that.
So it has to be changed for health and safety. How do you feel, I don't know how true it is as well, about we hear all sorts of things going out there. It's like, no matter what it is, it's hard to pin down what is truth anymore. A lot of people are offered places. They don't want them because it doesn't suit them.
Well,
you know, being selective of where they want to live.
Yeah, to be very. That would be in very few cases. Now, obviously, you know, if people have children settled in school, a certain area, or if there is a need to be beside family members, not, I don't mean next door, but in the general area, for whatever reason, sickness or care, all of that kind of thing. You know, there's more and more people being cared for or caring for their families that, you know, they would want a place in a certain location.
I know,
you know, that's understandable.
I know, but I mean, when you take sort of parochial places, the days of wanting to go where your parents live, they're all gone. But I mean, most people are living on the belt. They're on the periphery now.
But no, I'm not.
Wait, they're commuting for 2 hours, and these are houses they bought. I'm only telling you what
things have been said.
And I just want to clarify and get truth, and what's truth and what isn't.
Yeah.
And these people have bought the houses, commuting for 2 to 3 hours a day, and then they're hearing, well, people are being offered council houses because it's not where they want to be, they're not taking it.
Well, look, I'm going to give you...
A lesson there.
I respond in two ways to that. Okay. Right? First of all, and I would have dozens, if not hundreds of people, you know, that have my housing list. When I say my housing list, people who have contacted me. Very, very, very few people have ever turned down a place.
Okay.
And in all the years I'm dealing with this, there were maybe one or two unreasonable turning down of an offer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in years and in hundreds of people. So there are very few people who will say to the council, I don't want that place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. But just because they want to live beside their ma, so to speak.
Yeah.
But there are other reasons.
Convenience.
Like, I mean, if you have your children settled in a school, as I repeat myself, like, you need to be near that school, at least, you know, and the same, you need to be within at least a couple of miles of it, you know. And there are other things, like, not everyone drives also, you know, so if you have a bit of work, you might need to be reasonably near your work. Mm-hmm. But also the fact is that some people in this day and age are either being cared for or care for family members. And they would need to be close enough to them.
Yes, yeah.
But there are I've only come across a very... I've counted on one hand the number of people who have said, I don't want to live there. Now, I have had people who have had to say, well, look, I can't be a service anymore, because if you've been offered a place and the next place and you're not taking it, well, look, what are we to do about it? But it's very rare, mm-hmm. and mostly, in the 99% of the time, it's for a very good reason.
Okay.
It's not because of an area. It's not because they want to live beside their ma. It's not because they're being awkward or saying, I might get something better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because there are very practical reasons why I have to stay in this area.
But just
area.
To kill the... kill
yeah, yeah. And I know that's
very,
going
very
around.
Few will turn around.
Very
okay.
few, yeah.
Has there been a name put on this place that... we can't keep calling it Bargain Town.
It's actually not Bargain Town at all. It's turned out.
Adjacent to it.
It's the former Shamrock Apparel
okay.
clothing factory.
Okay.
So it's not Bargain Town, but it's got that. But no, there's no name. They're just calling it a hub.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of opposition now, and finally when they're finished and people are going...
Well, you see, what kind of opposition? There's a... You know, say they say, well, there's 28 people coming out of the Clayton or some hotel, right? Mm-hmm. And we're putting you into this hub. What choice have they got, you know?
Yeah, I just wanted to... We're just reading now. Is it true it's going to be run by the Salvation Army?
They're going to be the caretakers. Are going to be run on their auspices.
Okay.
No, I have the greatest appreciation for the Salvation Army, the work they've done here and all throughout the world,
mm-hmm.
Helping people and, you know, working with people. The Salvation Army ran hostels for people who needed hostels at any particular time, and they've done marvellous work. But now, you know, to say that you want to put people into Salvation Army hostels,
mm-hmm.
you know, it probably does, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the Salvation Army. Have you just send out?
But they're not building them, Larry. You know what I mean?
No, they're not building them. They're going to look after.
Someone's putting them. Yeah, we'd have. I suppose the best thing we do is wait and see what they look like. As I said.
But Noel, you're missing the point.
You're saying it's transitional. Just it's 6 months. And
I don't believe that either. Where are they going to put the people?
That's
what I mean.
But that's what you're saying. They are just transitional. They're not going to be permanent homes for anybody.
Permanent. It could be there for years.
Oh yeah, but as a holding area for people in between.
Look, it's not an idea. Look, I mean, we need homes, proper homes. I'll say this, and I'm saying it, I'm sick and sore saying it, but I'll say, but listen to this. Down through the years, Noel, with good or bad governments, since this state was founded, good or bad governments had a house building program, council house, local authority building program. You see it all around you. Right? You only have to look out the window. You see Coolock, Kilmore West, Darndale, Belcombe. Go back to the days when they started. Merino, Dunicarney, Cowell.
I know, but you see, that was my point earlier on, Larry.
We stopped doing that, and that's the problem.
Exactly, but at the same time, if you go back to the point of people, I know that you said it was quite minimal who are selective, but most of the people, generalise, but a lot of the people are living in Kilbarrick, Donnymead, and in Coolock, all from the south side. They had to move, and I mean, as you said, stretching out to Ballyferm at Ballymun, people had to go to get houses, move out of the city, you know. So, and nobody was choosy then. You were just saying, well, there's your house now.
There's no one choosy now.
So that was the point.
Who's choosy? Like, there's no one choosy.
But wonderful communities are built out of it. So, I mean,
yeah, but there's nothing like that going to happen again if there's not a change, if the will is not there to build new estates. I mean, where are you going to build a community in a factory?
Well, it's been subsequent governments for the past 30 years.
Yes.
That's
prior to that, good and bad governments, I've said.
When we had no money.
Had a house building programme. And standard quality homes all around this city, ringing around this city. They get worked out all the way out to the edge of the city. Like thousands upon thousands of homes were provided for people because the population was getting larger, as it still is, and we stopped doing that. There's your problem.
Okay, Larry, we have to leave it there, running out of time. Thank you very much for coming and talking to us.
You're very welcome.
And we'll just have, I think we'll wait and see what happens down the road and see will you be proven right. I hope you're proven wrong. I hope you are, and I hope they turn out to be wonderful, wonderful places for permanent people to live. And I'm sure you'd be sceptical about that, though, wouldn't you?
Of course I am, because it's not going to be a permanent solution.
Okay.
It's not a solution, you know. Okay. We could start this debate all over again now.
Okay. Thanks, Larry, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
You're very welcome, though. Thank you. Bye.